The Treasure of Claresby Manor. Laura took a bottle of wine out of the fridge and made her way to the study. It was a longish walk, down the chilly corridors, past dusty suits of armour, through the great hall with its high beams and carved musicians' gallery disappearing in the dark shadows above, and into the panelled room beyond. Had not every inch of the house been familiar to her, it might have felt eerie, so empty and gloomy it was as the last beams of the evening sun made their reluctant way through the mullioned windows, barely reaching the furthest corner. Her study, however, was warm and welcoming, with a fire burning to ward off the chilly late summer nightfall, and her favourite pieces of furniture in comfortable abundance about the place. She set the wine down and took a couple of glasses from an ornate oriental cabinet. As she did so, a bell rang from the front door. Again, a longish walk until she could swing open one of the creaking double doors at the entrance. A tall, slightly gangly man with light hair and strong features stood waiting. He too held a bottle of wine. "Ooh, more wine," commented Laura happily. "I just unearthed something from the cellar, but half the stuff is undrinkable, so it's just as well to have a backup." The man bent to peck her fondly on the cheek and followed her in. Once back in the study, Laura sat down in a red plush chair of great antiquity, which oozed a greyish stuffing from one corner. She would not have considered the fact, but the dim light enhanced the attractions of her pale oval face, delicate features and lustrous auburn hair. The man, turning to pass her some wine, cast a glance at her which suggested that he, at least, was not oblivious. Laura sipped the wine with some trepidation. "Well, it's not corked." She observed the golden liquid in the cut glass with a critical eye. "It's not cloudy either. I think it's a dessert wine. I hope it's not too sweet for you. I can't tell what it is, as the label has dissolved." "It's lovely," replied the man, sitting down opposite her. "Now, you tell me how you are today." Laura crinkled her nose. "Well, happier for seeing you, Rupert, but I'm really having to face up to things now, and I can't say that I like it. I preferred being an ostrich, but I have bills I can't pay, and they sit there ugly and insistent, and I'm going to have to deal with them." "Do you have a plan B?" Laura shook her head. "Everything saleable has been sold to cover debts, starting with grandfather's death duties and ending up with the inheritance tax when father died. I have inherited this wonderful house, but it's swallowed itself up. The only thing I could sell is the title."
"You mentioned that before. I still don't quite understand," replied Rupert, sipping his wine with appreciation.
"Well, there is a title that goes with the manor, Lord of Claresby Manor, or Lady of Claresby Manor in my case. It's a property and can be conveyed in the same way as any other property. In other words, I could sell the title," she explained, seeing Rupert looking vague.
"I thought I read somewhere that titles could not be sold, despite the number of websites promising a certificate that makes you lord or lady something or another at inflated prices."
"Well, that is pretty much true," conceded Laura. "You cannot buy or sell the right to any title in the peerage, nor pay to become a lord or lady. There are only two titles which can be legitimately sold, that of a Scottish feudal baron or lordship of the manor. Lordship of the manor doesn't make you lord anything. Father was James Mortimer, Lord of the Manor of Claresby. Not that he would ever have styled himself as such. He wasn't Lord Mortimer. Anyway, the point is that I can sell the title, and there are people who buy such things. With the title go certain historical rights, such as a monopoly on holding markets and fairs in the manor. Oh, and fishing rights for the river, for all the good that may do anyone."
"Does the title go with ownership of Claresby Manor?" inquired Rupert.
Laura shook her head, taking another sip of the wine. "No, the two are separate properties, and I can sell either one without the other. As a matter of fact, I think they should stay together, but only for sentimental reasons. In any case, I don't think I can afford to retain either. I will have to sell the house, even if it breaks my heart. Did you know that it's been in my family, give or take a few changes down the female line, since before 1066? I feel like I'm letting down a whole host of ancestors, most of whom glare down at me from unsaleable second-rate portraits whenever I make my way down the gallery to bed at night." Rupert laughed, even though her wit was of the dour resignation.